The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer, as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible, from the Bible, looking at current events, and also what we hear in church on Sunday. Is it even in the Bible at all? So if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number again, 8888-ASK-CSN. And once again, we want to just encourage you, if you've been sharing your faith, reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand or something that someone's asked you and you want to give them a good answer, well, that's why we're here and why we like to make ourselves available each and every weekday afternoon at this time. Joining me today, special guest and featured partner here at CSN, Jeff Teagues. And Jeff is the chief operations manager of an incredible ministry reaching out to people, and especially people that are abused in foreign countries. Hi, and welcome, Jeff.
Mike, thanks a lot for having me. I really, really enjoy the show and appreciate the challenges as people bring their questions to us.
Exciting. Yes, they do. Tell us about your ministry and then also what's happening at the River Christian Fellowship this Sunday.
So All Things Possible Ministries is headed up by Victor and Eileen Marks, that are pretty well known in the Calvary community. They've been doing outreach to imprisoned youths for years, and then it expanded into this high-risk ministry and trauma relief and the things that we do today. So Victor is an evangelist. He is propped up by the strength and character of his wife, Eileen. So we're on a path over this course of the year to expand what we're doing to offer trauma relief around the country here in the United States, as well as we're just coming back from the border. We can talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Victor is looking forward to sharing his story and his testimony with some of your folks up there in Idaho in just a couple of days.
Yeah. And Victor, as you all know, comes on CSN right after a program called It's Time, which I'm part of that. And so that's at 5:30 Mountain Time, about 30 minutes after this program is over. You can hear Victor Marks and the incredible ministry that he has. Now, this is one of those ministries where it isn't just talk, but they actually put feet to their faith and go out and do what the Bible says. You know, it's incredible, as you mentioned earlier, what happened down south of the border this past few weeks, where there's human trafficking going on. Of course, the drug cartels don't care how they get money. They don't care what they bow to. Selling people, selling drugs, it doesn't matter. So where do you get the people to sell? Well, as these people travel to try to get into the United States, unfortunately, and most illegally, but still, they're trying to get here. Well, they're prey to the drug cartels that capture the women and children for sex trafficking. And so tell us a little bit about the adventure that you guys were on the last couple of weeks.
Well, Mike, a few years back, ATP developed these lions and lambs. So it's a little lion for the boy, a little lamb for the girl. It's a little stuffed animal. And it's been researched, the soothing music and the prayers that are involved in it. So in addition to the tactile comfort that the kid receives, there's soothing music and prayers that really bring down their trauma and bring it to a level where they can be related to. And we've been pushing these all over the world. They really started in the Middle East, in Iraq and Syria, with the Yazidi girls and Christian girls that were taken captive by ISIS. But as COVID really limited our ability to travel, we started handing them out more into the United States, and just recently got linked up with the National Guard down there on the southern border. They facilitated us to get out there onto these observation points. So literally, as these migrants that are coming from mostly Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala are crossing the Rio Grande River to finally enter into the United States, albeit illegally, but still they're in the United States now. What is it that we are prepared to do for them and with them? And all things possible, we really do take seriously the call that is throughout the Bible to take care of the widows and orphans. So we were there to greet them and offer them water and some food, and then these lions and lambs to comfort these children. They're coming on a sometime multi-month arduous journey, like you said, making their way through the cartel country, giving up things along the way. And the least we could do is offer them just a little bit of comfort and security as they figure out what to do next.
Yeah. So incredible, incredible ministry to reach out to people. You know, I always liken Christians, and should be like Christians, that we, when we come up to a wreck at the intersection, we're trying to stabilize the people that are in the wreck. We'll let the cops figure out who done it. But our job is as paramedics, not as police. And I think that as long as we can reach out to people, they need Jesus. And I believe that. And you know, a lot of people don't know what else to do. And so we look forward to seeing great things that God continues to do through you guys' ministry and through CSN and everything that's going on. And so we just want to encourage people to call 888 ask CSN is the number to call if you've got a question you'd like to ask us. And before we go to the phones, we want to again, explain just a little bit about Victor Marks. Of course, he's on the radio here for 30 minutes. And so if you could just tell us a little bit more about his ministry, again, what his heart is, what he wants to do, I think that'd be really good.
Well, Victor's story is one of a kind. The trauma that he suffered at the hands of his father and stepfather is really unimaginable. So there's a book about his life. There's been a movie and a documentary made about his life. I mean, he was physically, emotionally tortured. I mean, things that as a soldier, I was trained to withstand. So the torture and the trauma that he was forced to endure as a child help him now to really relate to people from all different cultures about where they're coming from and the trauma that they've endured. And it really gives him a bona fides when he walks into any crowd, no matter where they're from, he can stack up what he has survived by the grace of God and through his relationship with his wife, Eileen, and share his story of resiliency and his story of forgiveness and how he has gotten to be where he is now as an evangelist and a high-risk missionary. So I think his story is really inspiring to people. And we deal with, like we talked about, incarcerated youths. We work all around different military posts because the rate of suicide and depression that is just running rampant in our active duty military continues to be staggering. And then we reach out to these high-risk populations in different places around the globe, even though we're, you know, white American males going into these other areas that are dominated by different ethnicities and even religions. We can find that commonality through what Victor suffered in his trauma. And then quite often we can find that commonality just through the different traditions, especially in the Middle East. You know, we both come from those Abrahamic faiths, and being able to ground ourselves in those truths really opens doors to talk about the things that people need right then and there.
Yeah, I think it's so important because, again, when you realize that, a lot of times when we pray, we have to wait for God's answer. And it'd be nice if it was instant like so much of our society is. But, you know, what God does in that period of waiting is build into us character. And the Bible says they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. You know, it's interesting, the waiting between when we pray and when God actually answers our prayer is that time of us gaining strength. A lot of times we see it as a point of weakness. Oh, I have to wait. I'm getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Help me. But actually God says, that's when really our strength is developed in that waiting period. And I know sometimes it is not a pleasant experience, but in the end, it does bear the fruit that that God has for us, and it's always a blessing to see those things. Again, Victor Marks will be with us on Sunday morning, and we want to invite everybody to bring a friend. I think you'll really find this an interesting, unbelievable story, and also ministry opportunities, all kinds of things. As you know, Victor's not only been south of the border, he's been in the Middle East, almost as a mercenary sometimes, against ISIS, again, trafficking of people, all these different things.
You know, Mike, I like what you talked about with the waiting. And there are some of those read over parts of scripture. Even this idea of the Israelites in captivity in Egypt was 400 years. You know what I mean? We read that and we just kind of pass over it. They waited for the Exodus for 400 years. And then when you think of they wandered in the desert for 40 years, those are things that when you really think about as a layperson, that's a lot of waiting. And then, of course, that gap between the old covenant and new covenant, when there were the silence, the prophets were gone until John the Baptist appears, again, another 400 years of waiting. So I think Americans, we like things now. And that just isn't the way that God has taught us or developed us allows us to really be those that can minister to those in need.
Years ago, they had tube-type radios and televisions, and you would turn it on and you'd usually have to wait about a minute for all the tubes to warm up and the set to start functioning. But there was always a question as it's in that time of warming up, is it really going to come on? Is this just going to stay black screen, not just for a minute, but maybe for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, forever? And you really don't know if it's going to really work or not. But the good news is God always works, and that waiting, God will see us through, and that's a blessing. Well, let's go ahead and go to the phones. We have Juanita on the line. Again, 8888, ask CSN if you want to be part of the program today. And we have with us Juanita, Fort Bragg, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Mike. Sorry about my voice. It's still my sinus thing. But anyway, I was going to tell you that this is kind of an emergency. I Bible study every night with a friend of mine over the phone out of the NLT Illustrated Study Bible, and we're getting close to Revelation now, and we've gone through all the footnotes and everything. It's just amazing. But the thing is, I thought she was going to this nice little fellowship, and it is, but she told me, she said, oh, guess what? We got some books in now that we're reading. And I said, what kind of books are you reading in there?
Okay, you're there.
We're reading about Calvinism. I said, Calvinism? I said, so-and-so. I said, God knows who's going to be saved and who isn't, but we don't know. I said, so be careful about reading that kind of stuff, because I said, people are calling in CSN and other people that I know of are dropping out as far as witnessing to people. They said, why bother? Because if God already knows who's going to be saved and who isn't, then we don't have to do anything. And some that have sinned have thought they don't have to pick themselves up and try again.
Well, that is the problem, yeah.
About this by somebody in a certain church, and I won't name the church fellowship because it's a very good one in Fort Bragg. And anyway, the person that I talked to, I trust very much. He said, do you know what John Calvin did if they didn't follow this Calvinism thing that he got started? I think he said in the 1500s, so I looked it up in the dictionary, 15 or 1600s. He said that he had their heads chopped off, wanted their heads chopped off, and the magistrates had said, no, we want them to be tortured first. So they would put green wood under a stake and put the people on the stake and slow burn them to death. And Calvin was upset about it, and he said that he didn't want that he wanted them to be beheaded, that that was the more humane way of killing them for not following along with his teaching. And so he died at the age of 55 years old, supposedly of heart disease and some tuberculosis or whatever. But do you know for sure that that's what John Calvin did? Because I want the people out there to know.
I don't know about that. But I will tell you, any false doctrine has horrible repercussions. And one of the worst repercussions of Calvinism is, since God knows ultimately who's going to be saved and who isn't, again, just as you said, why witness? But that isn't what Jesus said. He said, go preach the gospel to every creature, not to the predestinated ones, to every creature. That is Jesus. I know he doesn't have a lot of clout in the church anymore, but if you go back and study the teachings of Christ, that's what he said to do. Preach the gospel to every creature. For God so loved the world. That's everyone. Whosoever would believe in him. It doesn't say the predestinated ones that would believe in him. It says whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And true to all isms, Calvinism, Mormonism, all these different isms that are out there, it's not Christianity. Well, why isn't it? Because if it was Christianity, it wouldn't be an ism. It would be Christianity. And that's why we find this problem. So no, evangelism is very much a part of every single one of our calls as a Christian. This is why a lot of the Christians were martyred in the first couple of centuries, because as they would be out sharing their faith, they would be arrested for being a Christian. In other words, because they were driven to tell people not to go to hell, that Jesus died on the cross to forgive their sins and they could go to heaven, they would be arrested and fed to the lions. So the idea then that we don't really need to do anything, I don't know what Bible they're reading, but they're not reading a true Bible. And as far as what Calvin did to people, I don't know. I'm more concerned about what Calvinism is doing to people now, and that's really sterilizing their relationship with God to the point where there's no evangelism, there's not really anything, and I think this is a real problem. Every Christian, somebody said one time, witness every day, and if necessary, use words. I think that's really true. I think it's by our lifestyle, it's by the words we use, I think it's all those things. And again, we have a big lost world, and that's why the minute that we're saved, we're not transported to heaven, is because we're here to serve. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, when Jesus told us to relate with our Father in heaven like a child to his dad. Your thoughts, Jeff?
You know, Mike, I want to pick up right where you left off there. God gave us some institutions in life that really are driving us how to act. And you talked about a father. We are to act like a father-son relationship. We talked about Adam and Eve with that marriage relationship. I think people forget, and especially those that espound to Calvinism, they forget that we were created to be in relationship with our Father. God created a garden where he planted Adam and Eve to be in relationship with them. He puts families together and marriages together to be in relationship with each other, to mimic his holy relationship with us. And then this idea of predestination, there's a lot of things that are hard to understand. But I think of, again, how Jesus led his life, and it was we're supposed to mirror how many times he went into relationship with people. And then I can't help but think of his time at the garden, where he was praying to God if there was any other way. And we see this throughout the Old and New Covenants, where people's prayers and their interaction with God, he actually changes his mind. So even Jesus, the night before he is going to be crucified, he is there in prayer asking his Father, is there any other way? And as supreme as God, the Creator, is, he allows those spaces for us to be in relationship with us and actually influence the outcomes that, again, I don't fully understand how are preordained. But what we do know is we have our marching orders, like you said, to go preach to all people of all nations.
Amen. And to be about her daddy's business. Juanita, I hope that answers that for you.
Yeah. Can I mention one more thing? It wasn't a Bible that my friend and the others, it's a real small group that was studying. It was a book beside the Bible that I don't think they've ever done this before. And it's a wonderful little fellowship, but it was a book about Calvinism. And I fell off the chair when my friend told me that. And so I told her, I said, you look up online John Calvin and see what he did to the people that didn't follow him. And she said, uh-oh.
Yeah, no, it like I say, almost, I don't really know very many other people that do that, but they almost always add another book to support bad theology. Well, the Book of Enoch says, well, the Book of Enoch's not canonized. It was rejected by our church fathers around 350 AD. It was heresy then. It's heresy now. Not every part of it is, but enough of it is that I would never quote from it. And I would never use that book as any kind of a proof text whatsoever. Well, you have the Book of Mormon added onto the Bible. And where actually the Book of Mormon doesn't have that crazy stuff that Mormons believe, that's all found in the Journal of Discourses, Pearl of Great Price, Book of Abraham, all that kind of stuff, you know, where you're going to be a God yourself someday. God was once a man like we are, but through progression, man can become a God. None of that's in the Book of Mormon. This is in their other books, but they always add another book to it. Or you hopscotch through the Bible to prove a point. In other words, it isn't, Isaiah says, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's hopscotch. It's adding other books. It's eliminating books. Well, we don't really like that part of the Bible, so we don't teach out of that part of the Bible. I've heard a lot of churches do this concerning the Book of Revelation. Well, you know, it's just too weird. No, it's not. What's the word revelation mean? It means the unveiling of who Jesus Christ is. You know, a lot of people, and in the churches today, the Christian churches, have a very skewed concept of who Jesus is. Well, you know, all paths lead to God. I'm cool. You're cool. Cuckoo-ca-choo. Let's all groove together. Well, the problem with that is that Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said there's only one way, and that's his way. But if you don't know who he is, then you'll have an idea that, well, Jesus just loves to hold the little lambs. I have a picture. I bought it at the local Christian bookstore, and he's just holding the little lambs. You don't see Jesus coming back on a horse to wage war against the kings of the earth, where the Bible said the blood splatters as high as the horse's bridle. You don't read about how Jesus will rule this world with a rod of iron, because I got that picture. We have false concepts, and false concepts always bring us to bad doctrine. So again, going back to the entirety of God's word, line upon line, precept upon precept, not hopscotching through the Bible, not ignoring verses that bring clarity to the topic at hand. That's going to make all the difference in the world. Juanita, stay in line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, okay?
Well, thank you so much.
Perhaps you can get those along term. And I'll send you, maybe we can try to get you two of those out there, Time to Grow. And you can get that into their hands about what it means to be a believer in Christ, what they need to be watching for, and to stay away from all these crazy books that are out there that change what Jesus himself said. Again, Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, whosoever. And they go, no. Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, I'll make my bet on Jesus, not on these other people that come up with their own volumes of inspired scripture. Always troubling. Stay on the line, Juanita. We'll get that out to you. I think you'll enjoy that. With that, we'll go to Jesse, California. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. How may we help?
Okay. So recently, a friend of mine who's been not too long been involved with the Jehovah's Witnesses, last time we met, we were just sitting having lunch, and he said something about this Daniel 2:44 prophecy and how somehow they do the math and it takes them to 1914. So that, if you could elaborate on, and also what was that Jehovah's Witness resource you had that I could get online?
Okay, the resource is 4witness.org, the number 4, and then WITNESS.org. A lot of great information there. And again, when you find people twisting scripture to come up with 1914, this is really goofy stuff. Again, you remember that, as I've shared with you, the New World Translation, they rewrote the Bible to suit their own belief. But evidently, they didn't perfect it the first couple of revisions, so they came out with a new revision in 2013 with 10% less words than the previous New World Version. Now, Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and how you can get rid of 10% of your words, that's pretty heavy duty, and I don't understand that. Second of all, they go, well, we rely on the Dead Sea Scrolls. Well, the problem is the Bible, the Old Testament, speaks of Messiah who will come. The Dead Sea Scrolls do not include the life of Jesus Christ because they were found and penned, they were found recently, but they were penned, they believe, around 400 AD, or excuse me, BC, before Christ. And so understanding that, well, we only go by the Dead Sea Scrolls. Well, then, of course, you're not going to even have a clue who Jesus Christ is. They say Jesus is Michael the Archangel. And this is one of the things I always caution people on. They use the same words. All these religions do. Jesus, salvation, the cross, sanctification, who God is. They use all the same words, but with completely different definitions. So initially, when you start having a conversation with somebody, you're going to think, oh, well, they believe just like I do because they talk about Jesus. Paul warns, beware, in the last days, they're going to come preaching another Jesus than the one that I have shared with you. And they certainly do, with a whole different definition. Jesse, stay on line. We're coming up on a break. We're going to pick this up on the other side. Jeff, I want some comments from you, and we'll be right back right after this.
Have you always wanted to finish your degree, but you could never afford it or find the time? Well, here's some great news. Calvary Chapel University is offering students and ministry leaders a $12,000 scholarship. With this unique scholarship, you have a realistic way to graduate debt-free. Calvary Chapel University is the most affordable, fully accredited Christian online university in the United States, and it's 100% online, so you can study wherever and whenever you want. Calvary Chapel University offers bachelor's and master's degrees in biblical counseling, Christian education, and several other fields. And with solid teachers like Skip Heitzig and David Guzik involved, you can be sure you're getting a quality education. This scholarship is available for a limited time, so apply now. Find out more at calvarychapeluniversity.com. That's calvarychapeluniversity.com. Apply today.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide. With stations in 45 of our 50 states, we're never far from where you are. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world 24/7 at csnradio.com. You can be a part of CSN by spreading the word. Join us on Facebook and tune in every day for the best Bible-based teaching and modern praise and worship music. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
Bringing you worship music that exalts the Lord, words and lyrics that lift up His name. Reach to me, trust in the Lord, be set apart. Expressions of worship from believers all across the world. Trust in the Lord. Heavenly sounds of praise to the King. Right here on the Christian Satellite Network.
Welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer, and on this Monday afternoon. And again, we have with us Jeff from this incredible ministry of going out and helping people get out of the hands of Well, you know, it looks to me, Jeff, like it's almost organized crime. And so Jeff Tegas is with us. And of course, representing in part Victor Marks, who's going to be with us at the River Christian Fellowship this Sunday morning. Victor Marks' program follows. It's time, 5:30 Mountain Time. And so we want to be sure to invite you, invite a friend. I know you'll really enjoy it. But Jeff is with us. And when we went to the break, we were speaking with our caller about witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses and, you know, 1914 and all these things they do to bend the scriptures. They say, well, this is when our church started and all these different things, and we had our 144,000th member. Well, the problem is the Bible clearly says they're Jews from the 12 tribes of Israel, and just so nobody can mess it up, John even lists the tribes of Israel by name. And yet you'll find these groups come along claiming inclusivity, saying, oh, well, no, that's our group. Well, first of all, I don't want to be one of the 144,000, because that means you're in the tribulation period. I want to go when Jesus comes. So remember that. You don't want to be 144,000. Do I believe they know who they are? Perhaps, perhaps not. The Bible also says they're virgins. And of course, they weren't in the Jehovah's Witness realm. So this is where they get farther off. But the worst thing is that they believe Jesus and Michael the Archangel. The Bible says he is God. And this is where, if you go back to a Greek ultralinear, and where you look at, as an example, John 8:58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He was claiming to be God, ego amini, the same God that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. He was not Michael the archangel. He is God. Matthew chapter 1 says, he shall be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Pick up a King James Bible, read it. It even says in there, it actually uses the words, which translated means God with us. The word translated means, it's in there, written in the scripture, so you know who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Kurios. He is God. But they don't believe that. But neither does any of the other cults. Jehovah's Witnesses, that's what they believe. He's Michael the Archangel. Mormons believe Satan and Jesus are brothers. God had a lot of sons. And even though the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten sons. Oh, well, what about the book of Job where it says the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord? How about those sons, they'll say? Well, if you'll notice, sons in Job is not capitalized. It's speaking of God's creation, those angelic beings. But when it comes to John 3:16, it's capitalized because of his deity. And this is one of the great important things that we understand. In Revelation chapter 22, you'll find Jesus speaking. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last. This is only and can only claim come from God. In John 8:58, he said, Before Abraham was, I am. People say, well, so what? He was, I am, what? No, John 8:59 says, and they picked up stones to stone him because claiming to be God was a capital offense. That's why they crucified Jesus. They crucified God. Jesus came, the perfect man, half God, no, fully man, fully God, came to this earth and died for our sins. And so For Witness, the number 4, WITNESS, forwitness.org is where you want to go for that. Jeff, any last thoughts?
You know, Mike, in Matthew 24, Jesus tells his disciples that no one knows when the end times are coming. The earth will pass away. No one knows, not even the angels will know. So it always boggles my mind why people spend so much time trying to figure this out. Because then in the very next verse in Matthew 25, he has a couple of different parables that he's talking about. And what he emphasizes in the parable of the sheep and the goats is that as we're approaching judgment, he's the king representing him and God the Father are looking at these people and rewarding those that gave him a drink when he was thirsty, fed him when he was hungry, clothed him when he was naked, visited him when he was in prison. And the righteous are saying to him, when did that happen? I don't know when that happened. And what does he say? He says, when you do this to the least of my brothers, you do this to me. I wish people would spend less time trying to figure out when the end days are actually going to be here and act like they're going to come tonight. Like act like when you go to sleep tonight, it's your last opportunity to further his kingdom on this earth. If we spent more energy ushering to those in need and solving some of the problems that I believe the church has been ordained to solve, we could begin to usher in a little bit more of heaven on earth right now instead of waiting for eternal judgment.
Yeah, so I hope that answers the question for you. If you like, stay in line and or call us back. I think we might have lost your call. Call us back. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs you can get to your friends. And with that, we'll go to Julie in Montana. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, thank you, Mike. Appreciate you taking my call. A question for you. Someone in my long ago past claims to be a born again Christian. They're a veteran of war, and they were involved in the occult and a very heavy alcoholic. They committed some serious crimes and did prison time. And to the best of my knowledge, they suffered from bipolar disorder with psychosis. So something really has been bugging me for many, many, many years. And finally, I got the nerve to call and ask. So they claim to be a born-again Christian, which I am. And they say they actually see and hear Satan, and he argues with Satan.
I would say that's pretty crazy. Now, is it possible for someone to actually have a conversation with the devil? Some people say no. We do have 2 Corinthians 11:14. Actually, I'll start with verse 13 so we get the context. This is 2 Corinthians 11:13-14. He says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be correspond to their actions. It sounds like if Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, it would seem that it would be possible, but I don't think it's regular. And remember, Satan is not omnipresent. God is, Satan is not. He has help from the demons and all those, but I don't believe he's in all places at one time. And so people that claim this, I'm not denying they're not maybe talking to demonic spirits, but really it's forbidden in Scripture. And so right there, there's a real problem because we're not to be talking to the devil. The Bible says we are to pray without ceasing to God. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Julie, I don't know your friend, but I agree with Mike that the devil himself is a finite being. So if he's spending his time talking with your buddy, I don't think that's a very effective use of his time. So I would highly doubt that he's speaking to the devil. Now there is mental illness, which is schizophrenia and these other things where people hear voices and they can ascribe those to these different principalities, these fallen angels and demons that are out there. And then there are also these possibilities like Mike talked about, that they are engaging with these demons. But if he's a born-again Christian, he needs to rebuke them. He needs to cover himself in a canopy of our Savior's blood, protect himself and rebuke them in the name of Christ and move out of that darkness. You can't play with matches and not expect to be burned. And even if he is espousing to be a born-again Christian, he needs to safeguard himself in a much more tangible way and stop messing around in the dark and continue to move towards the light of his Savior.
So I hope that helps, Julie.
You know, it does, Mike. I was married to this man for 11 years, and I couldn't deal with him. He was very abusive, very rageful, very dogmatic. It was his way or the highway, and he hurt my kids. So I left.
Yeah.
Julie,
he had strange behavior, and it's been haunting me for a long time because he always told me, well, you're crazy. You know, I see Satan and I argue with Satan. There's something wrong with you that you can't do that. And I thought, I'm a born again Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing this. I shouldn't have that ability.
And I don't think he has that ability either. I think there's something wrong. I think the schizophrenia there is probably setting in because, again, first of all, why would you want to talk to the devil? I think Jesus brings the best argumentative case against the devil, no matter where you find the confrontation, whether it was on the Mount of Temptation, where Satan says, if you're really God's son, command this stone to be made bread. He could have turned the whole mountain into bread if he wanted to. He loses every time. And so why would this guy garner the attention of this powerful force? I think he's going to be dabbling more with the Antichrist and world leaders than, some guy in Montana. So, Jeff, go ahead.
Julie, I want to congratulate you for having the courage to get out of a difficult relationship. And, once we close today, definitely we'll lift you up in prayer and your family if that God's warring angels protect you. That is something you need to continue to pray for daily. This individual you're talking about can still be dangerous and threaten you here in this mortal coil, but we pray for God's warring angels to protect you and your family. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Julie, if you like, stay online. I'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, okay?
Love that. Mike and the other man, Jeff, thank you so much. I sure appreciate what you've done for me today.
Well, let's pray for you. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name, and we just ask you that you give Julie wisdom in speaking with this man. That, Lord, that he would not be so enthralled with the underworld, but, Lord, that he would be directed back to you, your grace, your love, your power in Jesus' name. And so, God, we come against any evil spirit that may be controlling this man, and, Father, that you would give her the wisdom to speak truth to his heart. Bind Satan from his mind in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Julie, stay in line. We'll get you fixed up with a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Perhaps you can get those along to him and change his life. 8888 ASK CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. With that, we're going to go to Heber in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, how may we help?
Hey there. Okay, so 1 Samuel 28.
Yes.
So I came up in Mormonism, and they believe things like your guardian angels can basically be whoever, family members that have passed on, so on and so forth. So I've been saved for about 10 years now. Love the Lord, love the Word, and so I had a question when I came upon this about 1 Samuel 28, where at this point the Lord had already torn the kingdom from Saul, but Saul was still the reigning king, and he had cast out all the necromancers and mediums from the land. Well, he's getting frustrated that the Philistines are coming against him, and he needs some guidance, and so he decides to consult this medium. What was puzzling to me, and I want to get your take on it, excuse me, is he was actually able to contact Saul through the dead, through this medium, and have a conversation with him. And as I understand that now in my new understanding of Christianity, that those things are purely demonic. So how is that possible?
God allowed it because the Bible clearly says it was Samuel. I know a lot of people say, well, that wasn't really Samuel. That was a masquerading demon or whatever. No, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says it was Samuel and told him, tomorrow you'll be with me. Now, he wasn't saying in Abraham's bosom. He was saying the place of the dead because Saul was a very unusual person. He started off humble. It went to his head. He began to erect monuments all over Israel to himself. And we remember he actually even slaughtered the prophets. And so he's a very, very strange person. And God became angry at him and wouldn't answer him anymore in prayer. And so when he needed this insight, being God wouldn't talk to him, he turned to the underworld, which unfortunately, with his slaughtering of the prophets, is where I think his heart really was. And so Samuel was allowed to come back and rebuke him and say, you're going to be with me tomorrow. You're going to be in the place of the dead. Now, again, when we understand that the witch there, and it's interesting, it was the witch that was in Endor. And if you remember the old TV series, Bewitched, remember Samantha's mother's name was Endora. So it is interesting that some of that stuff in these old TV programs, and of course, almost all the new ones, have some kind of necromancy, some kind of demonic influence that is accurate. You look at Harry Potter, for instance. Anybody that thinks Harry Potter is in some way a Christian thing, you do not know the Bible. That is repackaged, full-on witchcraft for a young generation to introduce the underworld witchcraft into a young mind, a young generation around the world. This was a very clever thing that Satan pulled off. And I'm amazed how many Christians are duped by it. Harry Potter is not in any way, shape, or form have anything to do with God. But again, it comes in that channel. You realize that Saul, needing insight, went rather than to God, because he had offended God so often, the Spirit of God left. And we remember then Saul goes to this witch of Endor, and she, when she sees Samuel, she screams. Now, that's weird, because I think she was so used to the phony, you know, putting on the show, you know, I'm a tarot card reader. I'll tell you fortunes, you know, let me tell you your sign. Well, by the way, if anybody ever asks you as a Christian, what sign were you born under? You tell them the sign of the cross. That always tweaks them out. But the point is this, when you look at what when she screams when she sees Samuel coming and he says, what does he look like? Well, he's an old man and he's got a robe, and he goes, oh yeah, that's him. And the Bible says it was him. But what is amazing, she screamed. I believe that she was probably an imposter, a fraud, dabbling in the occult. When the reality really came, she didn't know how to handle it either. And Saul, he was just spiritually dumb. And so we remember the story. But no, I believe that is a very rare place in the Bible. The Bible specifically tells us not to contact the dead. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, it's appointed in a man once to die. After that, the judgment. So there's no reincarnation. There's no coming back from the dead. There's no praying somebody out of purgatory. There's no baptism for the dead whatsoever. And again, these different religions that practice this, they don't get it from the Bible. Oh, well, wait a minute. Baptism for the dead is in the Bible. Yeah, Paul says, since you don't believe in the resurrection from the dead, why are you baptizing for the dead? It doesn't say you should be doing it. By the way, the Mormons are who do that. And baptism for the dead is not in the Book of Mormon. If this is the restored gospel, friends, I don't know what it was restoring, because all the crazy stuff they believe ain't in there. You say, well, why, Mike, why do you do this? I had somebody call last week, say, Mike, why do you talk about the cults? Because again, the occult and the cults are all tied in together. Anything but Jesus. You got to get your focus on your works. Get out there, go door to door, earn that salvation that Jesus Christ gave you on the cross. The Bible says Jesus gave it to you. We couldn't earn it. The Bible says no good thing dwells in the flesh. There is nothing you, me, anyone listening can do to generate righteousness. Why don't eat pork? Big deal. You'll miss a good BLT. That's all I can tell you. Here's the problem. There's no good thing dwells in the flesh. Your righteousness is never generated by your behavior. The Ten Commandments was not meant to justify you. It was meant to show you how desperately you needed a Savior. We put on his righteousness. But when we turn that away, we become prey to the underworld, the cult, the occult. And this is where Saul was, and why I believe God allowed him to come back and rebuke him. But it is prohibited in Scripture. Of course, Saul, not a godly man, was doing this. And I think God says, oh, you want to play on the wrong side of the fence? Have a taste. Your thoughts, Jeff.
Mike, I agree with you. And I two things come to mind. One is that God will turn and can turn everything to his good. And then secondly is you know, the old proverb that all things will pass. Heber, just a quick little story. I had the opportunity to live in Israel a couple of years right before I retired. And Endor was one of the off the beaten path places that I searched out with my family. And now when you go there, it's a farm. We drove to the farm. There was an Israeli family living there that didn't speak English. The only word I knew was Endor and Shaul. And he pointed me in the direction of the ruins of Endor. And my family and I and our dog, we walked out there and found these ruins that are now just in this beautiful pasture where he's feeding, grazing cattle and sheep. So the thing that I enjoyed about being able to live in Israel was, in addition to seeing these major sites, we were able to find these really minor sites. And when you think about this particular event here at Endor, where God allowed Samuel to reappear from the afterlife to give Saul an insight into his final days, and now where it sits in an idyllic little pasture in Israel and all of these different locations that you can still visit, it brings solace to me just to recognize that our God is sovereign and our time on this earth is short, and he weaves this story to a grand ending that we actually know how it finishes up.
So I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. Well, I guess my concern was that was even possible, because I mean, I've had to relearn everything about the Bible, you know, from in the beginning because of the misconception through Mormonism. And I've heard lots of people say things like, you know, when they lose a loved one, like, I saw him, I talked to him, he came to me. You know, it's been my understanding and my learning since that those instances, they're not seeing the loved one. They're seeing an impersonation, essentially an imposter or a demon that basically we can't access. We can access the underworld. I understand that, like you said, with Harry Potter, with Ouija boards, all that stuff. But I didn't think it was even possible to be able to access heaven that way. And so that's where I was looking for a little clarity as I explained this, because you know, I know my ministry's evangelism from here on out, and being able to answer that in a way that brings life and that is helpful to those who have played with the underworld, because I've had my time in life too where I've messed with that, where I've called out, and the enemy is more than willing to answer in one way or another. And so being able to answer for what those things are as my ministry goes on is something that I want to be clear on.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. And by the way, that is actually, I believe, 1 Samuel 15 is where that story of Saul consulting the medium and stuff. But 1 Samuel 15, 23, I believe, is where you were referring to. But it is real, and the occult is real. And I think a lot of people dabble in it, and you can get yourself demon-possessed and all kinds of bad things. And so I tell people always stay away from the underworld. God put into human beings a natural defense against that spiritual force of trying to be possessed. And I believe when we get into alcohol, drugs, occult, that breaks that down and bad things happen. Well, stay on the line, Haber. We'll get you taken care of with some books, some DVDs. And Jeff, so good to have you on the program today. Look forward to this Sunday when Victor Marks will be with us at the River Christian Fellowship, 10 o'clock Mountain Time, 10:30 CSN. And so until then, God bless you all.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.